This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. We tape in the offices of Raider, which offers a complete fleet of IT solutions for businesses of all sizes. Raider's motto is, "You just want it to work, we understand." If you're wondering if Raider can help your business, please visit RaiderSolutions.com. I'd also like to thank Iberia Bank for its support. Founded in 1887, Iberia Bank is the largest bank based in Louisiana and is headquartered in Lafayette with 325 combined locations throughout the South. They offer the resources of a national bank with the personal touch of a community bank. Please visit iberiabank.com for more information. And lastly, thank you for the support of Lafayette General Health. As Acadiana's largest nonprofit, community-owned regional health system, Lafayette General Health is committed to restoring, maintaining, and improving health in the communities it serves. For more information, visit LafayetteGeneral.com. Our guest today is my friend, Faye Harris. Faye has always been an active community volunteer and a respected professional, active in the hotel, radio, TV, and sports industries. On the morning of September 25th, 2018, as she drove down I-10 West on the way to her job at an assisted living facility in Lafayette, Faye experienced the inexplicable. A large crane spontaneously fell on top of her vehicle, pinning her in and crushing her body. She survived. It was a miracle. Now, just a bit over 1 year later, Faye is standing, back on her feet, still working on rehabilitation, yet inspiring others to focus on what matters in life, just as she always did before the incident that almost took her life. Faye Harris, welcome to the show. Welcome to Discover Lafayette.
Thanks, Jan. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. We've been buddies. We met through our community work.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. And through our mutual friend, Arlene.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful that you took time today to come share your story, because I think a lot of people will know you from your involvement with the Chamber of Commerce and One Acadiana, and all the different things you've done to help build volunteer organizations in our community.
But thank you.
Can you talk about, you know, some of your work before we get into the accident? Can you talk about your career and maybe put it in perspective?
I moved here after being gone for about 10 years, lived in Houston, and I moved back to Lafayette. And that's when I became involved in the chamber, the Lafayette Chamber, it was called back then, and became an ambassador for the chamber. And I was in the hotel industry at that time. Sales and marketing is my background, and I was the sales manager or the sales person for the hotel industry, and got plugged into the chamber, and I just love meeting people, and it just gave me an opportunity to network with other professionals in the Lafayette area. And after being gone for 10 years, it was great to just reconnect in the community.
Yeah, that helped me a lot when I had worked on and off, and when I really got serious about work, you know, back, I guess, early 2000s, I got involved later in the chamber, but you can meet so many people.
Yes.
And it helps you both professionally and even better just personally, the friendships.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so last year, if you want to jump into that, you were, and I know this has been in the news a lot recently because of the anniversary, you were on your way to work at the Blake. You were working with seniors?
My title was memory care coordinator, and I worked with residents that have Alzheimer's and dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, on my way to work that morning, about 7:30, and I was coming across the Atchafalaya Basin Bridge. Actually, I remember looking at the beautiful sunrise and how beautiful it was. It's a beautiful sight to come across the Atchafalaya Basin Bridge. And in my peripheral vision, as I was getting off the bridge, I saw this black object come down and fall right on top of the hood of my car.
There's been construction going on, and it's going to be going on for quite a while. But do you don't remember the crash itself? Do you remember it?
The instant it happened, all I remembered was being pinned in and thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to get out of here, because I'm very claustrophobic. And that's really all I remember.
Uh-huh. So it was early in the morning. I'm sure there was a lot of traffic.
Very fortunate that I was the only vehicle in the accident. Mm-hmm. The cars behind me were able to stop in time.
You didn't get rear-ended on top of that.
I did not. Right. I was the only car in the accident.
So I know we're not, this isn't a visual, we're going to have to talk about it, but the crane actually, I mean, it crushed you, but it didn't hit your head.
No, it actually fell on the hood of my car, mm-hmm. pushing back the dashboard and the steering wheel. And my husband, when he went to look at the car and he saw this, I mean, I was literally in a spot about, I don't know, maybe this.
Like half a foot?
About half a foot. I was pinned in. And
luckily, you're tiny. You are. We're not just kidding. I mean, you were thin and
well,
in good shape.
I don't know about that. But yeah, it was, I was pinned in. And, you know, when you look at the car, it really could have been a lot worse. I mean, a few seconds more, it could have fallen on the top of my car. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it was really only my legs that were broken is a miracle in itself, because everything was just so jammed up. I did have some minor internal injuries, but yeah.
So you don't remember do you remember being rescued? I know people said you were saying, I've got to get out. But do you remember?
I don't remember. Thank God I passed out after that, because I did have a compound fracture in my femur. Mm-hmm. The young lady, ironically, that was right behind me or a few cars behind me, she also lived. She lived down the street from me.
Oh, okay.
But she didn't know it was me in the car. And she's the one that had placed the 911 call. And they were asking her all these questions, who's in the car, how many people in the car? And she said, I don't know. And the operator asked her if it was safe to get out of the car and to go and see who was in the car. So she said it was. So she got out of her car, walked to my car, got on the opened the passenger door side. And then that's when she discovered it was me. And so she was, you know, she was very shocked to see that she was like, oh, my gosh, it's Faye.
Right. Yeah. Right. Now, we're not going to talk age, because we were laughing before the show. You know, once the media picks up on your age, it's like, there's your name, comma,
right.
Whatever the number
age,
is.
Yeah. 62.
Okay. Well, so you did it, you know, with our permission. But you've always been in good shape. Like, you're active.
You and I run into runner. Each other at Reds all the time too. Yeah, that's another association we have. I've been active my whole life, and you know, we were laughing at this the other night. Literally, I have jumped out of a plane. I have jumped off the side of a mountain skydiving. I'm a scuba diver. I have done extreme sports and never gotten injured. Mm-hmm. And here I am on my way to work.
Minding your business.
Right, minding my business, and a crane falls on my car.
Gosh.
Yeah.
So in the news recently, there's been a lot, Lafayette General, you know, with their gala and all. I know that you and your husband, Locke, were recognized, and it was a big opportunity, for pride in all of the healthcare industry, for all the different people that touched your life and helped you. Would you please share some of that? You know, Lafayette General is one of our sponsors, and it probably could have been any hospital, but I believe you were with the best people.
Oh, absolutely.
That you needed.
You know, I like to say probably the best thing that happened that day was that I was air-vac'd to Lafayette General mm-hmm. Medical Center. Dr. Walton and his team, he was my orthopedic doctor. He's an incredible surgeon, and I couldn't have been in better hands. Mm-hmm. And my whole 17-day stay there was just, I was in the hospital when I had my babies, and I've never been in a hospital, you know, never. Yeah. So to be in a hospital, and if there is such a thing, it was a great stay. They took very good care of me. They were very compassionate. You could tell everybody that took care of me was in the right profession.
Right.
They did. You could tell their mm-hmm. hearts were in it for mm-hmm. sure. And that night at the gala, I had the guys from the St. Martin Parish Fire Department who cut me out of my car, you know, came up to me and said, you know, we're the ones that cut you out of the car. And Acadian ambulance guys said, you know, I put the tourniquet on your leg when I saw you had a compound fracture. And it was just such a gift to me. Mm-hmm. That these people were recognized, because I know in the trauma department especially, I'm sure I was one of the good stories.
Yeah.
They see a lot of tragedy in that department, I'm sure. I hope that me telling my story gives... And I did encourage them to continue doing what they do, mm-hmm. because it does make a difference.
Right.
You know, when they see the care that they've given someone like me and where I am today, they were all of them were very instrumental in my healing mm-hmm. process. So I'm very grateful.
And you're probably one of the few people that's gotten to meet all the professionals, you know, like
yes.
to be reintroduced. And what a story.
I know. It was the evening was it was almost surreal for me to have all these people coming up to me. Mm-hmm. You know, the doctors, the nurses.
Right.
Nurses telling me, you were such an inspiration, and that's why I continue doing what I do. And I said, well, you just keep doing it, mm-hmm. you know? So yeah, it was a very touching evening for me.
Right. Do you mind talking about, I know you had to have surgeries, and it's been a tough road of rehabilitation.
Yes.
I mean, you were standing.
Yeah.
Do you mind sharing, you know, some of what happened?
Sure. when Dr. Walton came into my hospital room, he told me about my injuries. I had internal injuries that were addressed initially when I was in the hospital. And then I had a total of 5 surgeries over the, you know, course mm-hmm. of the time I was in the hospital. But he, after he, when he finished up our conversation, he told me that it would be 4 to 6 months before I could walk. And as you just stated, Jan, the active person that I was, when he left, I looked at my husband and I said, did I hear him right?
I know, that's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he said, yes, Faye. He said 4 to 6 months. I said, okay. But, you know, being the determined individual that I am, I believe in the power of prayer. The prayer got me through the fact that I was in the good shape that I was in, mm-hmm. Was very instrumental in my healing process. But the accident was September 25th, and I stood up in Dr. Walton's office for the first time. It was mid-December.
Oh.
Okay.
So you showed him.
So I did, and I was able to start walking at that time with only my right leg had healed. The left leg that had the compound fracture needed a little more healing, so I was able to put 100% weight on my right leg and only 50% on my left leg. So I started walking mm-hmm. Beginning of January with a walker, and I was in physical therapy 3 times a week. So,
and I know they probably put you through it, huh?
They
it's
did.
Grueling.
Yeah. It was grueling, but you know, all of my therapists, I've been through a few therapists, and they all say I'm the ideal patient because I did what they told me to mm-hmm. do. You know, when I could get back to the gym, I was back in the gym, mm-hmm. working out, and I was doing exercises at home. So, yeah, so that's, you know, I started walking with a cane mm-hmm. after the walker. And I still walk with the cane due to some issues. My left leg is still not totally healed, and I'm still in therapy. I'm every therapist has brought me to the point where, you know, they could get me as far as they could.
Oh, yeah. And then you graduate to another level.
Right. I'm currently going to a physical therapist. She's awesome. She's also a Pilates instructor. Uh-huh. And what's left to be healed, the muscles and the tissue and the nerves, Pilates has really helped me. Uh-huh. I go to integrated physical therapy, and Alix is my physical therapist, and mm-hmm. yeah. So I'm taking baby steps, and I can see that my leg is getting stronger. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to get there. My goal is to be walking without the cane again.
Do you have a, have you set a date, or just
no,
when your
I'm
body's
not setting
ready?
A date. I just, it'll come mm-hmm. when it comes.
Tell me about the Pilates. I know for years I did that, and I got away from it because I had some injuries, and that almost made it worse. I found Pilates, especially just using your own body weight. I don't know if you're using the machines or if you're just using your own
A little
weight.
Of both. Uh-huh. A but little of both, actually.
It's miraculous.
It is. It's a lot of stretching mm-hmm. and
core work.
Core work. A strong core is very important. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the center of everything else.
And to keep your balance too, I'm sure that's important.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, Faye, we were talking at the beginning of the interview, and you've always been a very positive, uplifting person. And when I was on the way to come do the interview, I asked my daughters, what would you ask a friend that had survived an accident that was just totally, I mean, all accidents are accidents, but this was a major fluke and a tough accident. And they said, Mom, why don't you ask her how it's changed her life perspective? And it's not like you were somebody that was negative before and now you've changed. I mean, has it changed you? Do you feel differently about life having survived this?
You know, without me getting to, I'm very spiritual. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have gotten through this without God. It's changed me. I think it's brought me closer to God, my relationship with God. And, but it just has made me see how, you know how we say life is short? It really is. It's not just a saying. Mm-hmm. Just like these people in the plane crash.
Yeah.
You know, I always did, but I'm more deliberately now try to live each day like mm-hmm. You never know. It could be your last. And I don't mean to be morbid about
it. You just never know, though.
No,
it's
you
true.
Don't. You don't.
Yeah.
So,
but
you
to
know,
appreciate that. Mm-hmm. To understand it like you do mm-hmm. is different than most of us mm-hmm. that maybe have had accidents, but a broken arm here or there, but not life-threatening injuries.
My bucket list, I have things on my bucket list that I want to do, and I'm going to do them. Mm-hmm. I'm not waiting until, you know, I always say, well, let me wait until I do this or do that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do them, you know, just do things. Just life is precious.
Now, after skydiving, what's left?
I mean, I know, really. I don't know. Let's see. and we lived in Malaysia. We're not recording, right?
Yeah, we're recording.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're fine.
We lived in Malaysia, and we went to New Zealand. Oh. And we went to...
Oh, yeah.
Listen, I don't know what heaven's like, but I think heaven is a little bit like New Zealand.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place, but... We chose to go to the South Island because they do a lot of extreme sports.
Oh.
And I literally just ran off the side of a mountain with this guy. You know, he was with me, and he says, well, when, you know, we're going to run, and then when we run out of ground, just pick up your feet. And I said, okay.
And you didn't get hurt?
No.
No.
No, we landed, and we did great. It was fun.
You want to go back there?
I would love to go back mm-hmm. to New Zealand.
Yeah.
I tell everybody, if you ever have an opportunity to go there, it's a beautiful place.
Right.
It's a beautiful place.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're not working right now. You've been working on yourself, on rehabilitation.
Yes.
But you're still active.
I am.
Yeah.
I am. I go to the gym. I'm back at Red's. I stop at the front desk, and I thank Red all the time for the awesome facility that he provides to our community. I can't do the extreme like aerobics like I used to do, but I've jumped in the pool, started doing some water aerobics. Mm-hmm. And I just get in the gym and do what I can, you know?
Yeah, I've been seeing you in there.
Yeah.
And looking
it's
great.
It's great to be back there, and it's such an awesome place.
Can you push weights yet, or is that
too much?
I can. For your legs?
Not what I used to, of course, but yeah, right. I can.
You get in the cold plunge?
I do.
I bet that's good. Huh?
I do, yeah. It's
that's
very helpful.
That's one of my
helpful.
Favorites. Yeah. Any advice for people that... you know, it's so easy to get down, like if something happens. I had an accident last year and broke my arm, and I was really down. I think I didn't realize till later, I think I might have even been depressed about it for a while because I was so excited about the new year, and then there I was. I mean, Jason saw me. I couldn't dress myself. It wasn't anything like what you went through, but I don't know. I just handled it the way I could at the time. But do you have advice for people that may be struggling, you know, things that helped you?
Well, again, to me, God is the answer for everything. He'll get us through it. I believe we go through everything for a reason, and He has a purpose in everything. Your broken arm, my accident, is to remain positive and open to being used, you know, by Him. I ran into... a girl at Red's, and she asked me if I would speak to a friend of hers' daughter who had been in an accident, and she was active like I was, and she was struggling with, you know, what happened to her, the limitations, and I said, sure, you know, so I think that just being open to being you, I mean, there's a reason that it happened. And just being open to being used, you know.
That's good advice.
Yeah.
I want to say, too, we were kidding about our age earlier. I think it's important to stay active no matter what age we're at and not to let a number define us, you know, because it's so easy to say, well, the good old days or whatever. And you've never been like that. You've always just been Faye.
Yes. Well, you know? It's always just been a number, you know. I think our mindset, you know, you're as young as you feel kind of thing. And, age never stopped me from doing anything.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've got a lot to live for. I know your husband, Locke, and you've got twin girls, Megan and Sarah, are they 30?
Yeah, they'll be 30 on Friday.
Okay, so you've got a lot to celebrate.
Yep.
And let's see, grandchildren. So any big plans with them?
Actually, they're both in the school system, and they will have a spring break in April. So we're planning a girls' trip. We're going to go somewhere, maybe some, I don't know, we're not sure where we're going to go yet, but an all-inclusive island somewhere.
Oh, my goodness. And just relax.
And just relax for a few days. So,
oh, gosh.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. We're actually in the planning stages right now.
Right.
Yep.
Have I asked you the questions you thought I would ask?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anything that people want to know that I didn't ask, you know? I guess we're all pretty nosy, huh?
No, you know, this whole incident that happened, my husband and I, Locke, have said this, we said it in our video, that it just kind of, with everything in the world that's going on, all of the negativity that we hear and all the bad things that are happening, you know, it just... Starting at the hospital with the care that I received from all of the people there, but the friends and the family that stepped up and helped us during this time. You know, I had friends through the church and just friends that brought us meals. I mean, Locke had to basically do everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in a wheelchair. But just the concern that we had from friends and family was just, I'm still very touched by that, you know, and I'm very grateful. But it kind of restored our faith in humanity.
Right.
People are good.
Yeah, they are good.
Most people are good. And we actually saw that during this time, and I still see it. So I'm very grateful for everyone that was a part in my journey.
Faye, you emit so much love that I think it's easy to love you back. But I know what you're saying. It's so easy to just get cynical at times.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. I'm glad they were there for you.
And thank you.
We're here with Jason Sikora of Raider. And Jason, thank you for taping the show today.
Oh, well, thank you for allowing me to do this.
Yeah, and he's been over there making notes. If it's all right, Faye, Jason always thinks of things I don't even think to ask.
Well, and even just some comments I have, there's a few Pilates things I want to ask you after the interview here. But to hit on what Jan just said, yeah, you radiate positivity from the moment you walked in this door. So.
Thank you.
As sad as the story is, and as much as I want to cry, like you really do bring a certain
thank you,
certainly a radiation of positive to the room. Also, beaded bracelets.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
This is the second time I've noticed. I'm like, oh yeah, she's got the beads, and so do I.
Yes.
So let's go back to the beginning of the podcast. You talked about working with patients of Alzheimer's and dementia. Can you hit on that a little bit? Like, what drew you to that, and what was that experience like?
You know, my passion is the elderly. I have always loved the elderly. And my mother-in-law had Alzheimer.
Okay.
My mother had a touch of dementia. And, yeah, that's... They have so much to teach us, I feel, the elderly, and especially Alzheimer and dementia patients or residents, you know, where I was working at the Blake. They truly blessed me. I mean, they always thanked me for what I was doing, but I always left there blessed at the end of the day, you know.
Excellent. So there's a bit of a personal story behind it, but well, and I asked because my neighbor has dementia and he's such a sweet guy, but I mean can't even say the word television because he doesn't know how to connect that.
Yes.
But he's very sweet. So is there any in your experience any single key to healing that you found? I mean, was it prayer? Was it being active? Was it a positive attitude, or was it kind of all-encompassing.
All-encompassing, which you just said, yes, all-encompassing. You know, the power of prayer, my faith. I could never have gotten through this without my faith. And just keeping a positive attitude, knowing that God has a plan for my life, wanting to give back, you know, and... keeping active. I mean, it's so important. God gave us this body for a reason, not to sit down and do nothing. You know, we need to move it. So, yeah, keep active is very important.
Yeah, I have a very hard time sitting at my desk all day. Yeah. I have to get up and walk around and talk to people and just do stuff. And then can you just touch briefly on what Pilates has done for you and the importance of it?
Pilates, as I said, my bones healed very quickly, which they were amazed at for someone my age. But of course, again, it's because I was active and in good shape. And but the Pilates, what's remaining to heal is especially in my left leg. My right leg is really fine, but they had to literally go in and rebuild my left knee. The compound fracture was right above the knee in the femur.
Wow.
And so I have rods in my tibia as well as a plate on the left side of my femur, the whole leg. So they had to cut muscle and tissue, and that takes a long time to repair.
Certainly.
Yes. So the Pilates, the stretching and the, you know, getting my core stronger is, I can see that my leg is getting stronger. You know, it's a lot of stretching. It's a lot of core work.
Excellent.
Yes.
Well, so I have more questions about that after the podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
So we'll keep that private.
Okay.
And you know, the Pilates method, I mean, Joseph Pilates that designed that years ago, he had health issues. I mean, he had structural issues. And
oh, really?
I think he came up with it as a way to strengthen himself. And it just, it took off. But yeah, I mean, I'm fascinated with that story.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it's such a gentle way. You just work
it
within
is.
Your own
it's
capabilities a,
mm-hmm,
to get stronger
yes.
and leaner. It makes you leaner.
Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
here I am
stronger.
Talking about it and not doing it. You know, it's, but I know firsthand it's very effective. And yeah, I'm glad to hear you doing that. Machines
just
scare
go
me,
do
though.
It, Jan.
I know it.
Well, Faith, thank you for taking time to come
thank
visit us today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure being with you guys.
Oh, yes. And Jan, as always, thank you for letting me chime
oh,
in.
Oh, thank you so much, Jason. Thank you, and Raider, and Lafayette General, and Iberia Bank for sponsoring our show. And Faye Harris, thank you for bringing your voice to our podcast. I really wanted people to have the opportunity to hear you. You've been in the news. And that's great, but there's something about that spoken word and letting people hear your calm, positive voice.
Thank
it's,
you,
it's a gift.
Jan. It's a gift that you allowed me to be here. Thank you.
I'm glad we're friends.
Yeah,
so,
me too.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So I want to wish everybody a happy new year, whether or not they have resolutions. I think it's always fun to start a new year, and it's an opportunity to have a clean slate, and let's make it a good one.
Yes.
Yep.
Amen to that.
Amen to that. So, on behalf of Discover Lafayette, thank you for listening. This is Jan Swift.